Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Tales of the Valiant hits Kickstarter.
Okay.
The Project Black Flag.
Oh, yeah.
Board game blackmail. So an interesting situation. Warhammer Old World details. So some armies that are included. And then the Pathfinder Nexus is in open beta.
Oh, okay.
So Pathfinder's getting digitized. All right. Well, let's start with Brinkwatch.
Brinkwatch
2023. So it's day 125.
Jeez. We're going to get up to day 365.
Yeah, right? I think we will. It's going to be a year. So Kyle Brink has not yet resigned from his executive producer position at Wizards of the Coast, where he claims that white people should be leaving the hobby. White men like himself should be leaving the hobby.
Lead by example,
yes,
Kyle.
Yes, we'll follow you. We'll follow you the hell away from that hobby. All right. But an interesting quote from Kyle. So I think they're doing a little bit of press now. Right. And Kyle was saying, as you can imagine, I had an interesting January. I'm glad it ended where we are, but I wish we had gotten there in a less painful way. So they are admitting the brutal beating they took.
I'm imagining that guy from the fucking Big Lebowski, right? Like a cowboy hat,
Sam. What's
yeah,
his
yeah.
Face?
This does not match at all.
he's significant fellow. Yeah, so they talked about that, and they're admitting, but they're not admitting mistakes. It's just like, well, you know, this is where we always wanted to be, and it's very, very dishonest. So we heard loud and clear from the partners we need to support. We need their support after the anger around the OGL. It did some damage to the trust. And but basically saying, and this is the non-apology kind of thing of it, is it has not changed at all our daily thing that we're doing at Wizards with D&D. Like, it doesn't change anything we do. So
we're sorry about it, but we're not sorry enough to change.
Not sorry enough to actually affect anything. Yeah. So it's not going to be any different. So thanks, Kyle. We'll keep watching.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. So we'll start off with Kobold Press. So, yes. And so this is interesting. So, you know, 3.5, the end of that, Dungeons & Dragons 4.0, that kind of fumble that created Paizo. They're not willing. They don't want to make that same mistake again. Mm-hmm. So instead, they're saying it's still 5.0. It's still, you know, it's still fifth edition. But now they're going to have every flavor of fifth edition. You know, other companies are going to make their favorite version of fifth edition because they put it in Creative Commons.
Right.
So we're going to have, you know, under Orc and all of these companies that are kind of pledged to that, we're going to have, you know, a rainbow, basically, a fifth edition, like every kind of version. So more heroic, less heroic, more deadly. You know, every company is going to have their own version of this now. So instead of creating like a single competitor that's keeping this older tradition, it's like, well, yeah, let's see what you do with 5e, but we can do modified 5e too now.
I'm trying to collect my thoughts with regards to that, with regards to how like the OSR functions. Because you could like, okay, as a community or as producers, right? The OSR is kind of the same thing, right? Like the rule set is maybe not exactly under Creative Commons, but like old enough where they're like multiple versions of basically the same thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And each one is kind of, here's our take on this kind of classic rule set. And I was trying to think about what's different between that, and maybe my difference in feeling is kind of like IP and Creative Commons, right? Mm-hmm. Where you buy some kind of like OSR thing, like Dungeon Crawl Classics or Sword and Wizardry or White Hack? Mm-hmm. White Hack, I think. Like, I'm like, who benefits apart from the company you kind of directly bought it from? Mm. Or maybe like the whatever retailer you bought it from, right? Whereas like, okay, if everyone has like is like making iterations on the 5e SRD, WotC is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't one D&D is going to be compatible? Well, actually, we don't know, right? But they're touting that one D&D is not an addition, right? It's so I'm kind of more skeptical and look upon the 5e SRD thing much more poorly than I do the OSR because I see it as still benefiting.
Right. You can still go back.
You can kind of still go back to WotC, right? Like it's kind of like exactly what the OGL was designed by its creator to do: create a walled garden where everything worked on our system, so that like, come on in, come on in. Oh, we've got you now. There's no, look at all these fun games we've got, right?
Right,
there's
right,
no
right.
reason to go outside, yeah, right? So I'm kind of seeing, I'm kind of seeing the same thing happening. And I guess I can't really blame the companies because it's the most popular role-playing game in the world. Not using it is basically leaving money on the table.
Right, right.
So
yeah, and with companies that were already doing third-party support for it, to be able now to do their own thing and say this is our system, you know, and our setting now. Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting. So Kobold Press is one of those that's making their version of 5e. So they're doing D&D 5e with teeth, they say in quotes. So they're trying to do epic but challenging, and they are making the characters. So I guess, you know, Tales of the Valiant is a good kind of epic title because the characters start out very overpowered. You're going to have a stat like over 16 guaranteed, and so you're going to be, brutal. you can't wait to get at that.
I can't wait to get at it. My thought is like, okay, I don't know. Certain people like playing certain games. Mm-hmm. I do not like looking at a five-page character sheet that's all these mechanical doodads, and which is, I'm just like, if high-powered means 20 extra mechanical doodads attack, I'm just like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care, right? Yeah. And if it's like challenging but with teeth, like if difficulty scales at the same thing as the characters, then is that more difficult?
Right?
Bigger numbers. You've got to hit a 35, but you get a plus 20 bonus. I'm like, well, what the fuck is the point, right? Anyway, sorry.
Yes, but they promise it's going to be fully compatible with D&D books. So that's going to be an interesting thing, is it's going to be a lot of people trying to lure you. What do you like about 5e? Okay, that's what we do. And so you can still use your Spelljammer book or whatever relics from the 5e run that you want, but so we'll see.
And again, that's that's not bad, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do to diversify. Like, okay, we're all kind of using this thing. We're all going to do a little bit differently. We'll find out. It seems like this is the era of companies, if they didn't already have one, finding their niche of the 5e flavor.
Right. Yeah, this is the way. Yeah, and a lot of it, it's probably just going to be based on homebrew from what they like to play in their game groups is, you know, what a lot of stuff is.
Or maybe they'll crowdsource it fucking back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's another thing, too.
You'll end up with the same mishmash that 5e was, anyway.
Yeah,
anyway.
We have... Our elves do this, and their elves do that, so...
After numerous months of crowdsourcing, we're right back at the beginning, because... Yeah.
Right. Everyone's sitting there. Yeah. Watch these playtests. It's like, oh, they really screwed over dwarves. We're going to take advantage. We're going to do an all.
What do you
want to
see in dwarves? Oh, the exact same thing that's in
there. Yeah, anyway. Right. Yes. So as early as early summer last year, they started Black Flag, the development of Black Flag. And so some quotes from to Celeste Konowich, who is the lead designer for Tales of the Valiant. So we want to make sure that 5e stays playable on people's tables. We're giving it a fresh coat of paint. And they're known for their Tome of Beasts that they released. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what's coming out. It's two books. It's going to be a player's guide and then a monster vault.
Okay.
So two pretty chunky books. And they're doing kind of the typical thing where they're doing more deluxe versions, a couple of deluxe versions, a slipcase version of these two books. And they're doing 13 classes, a big variety of lineages and heritages, which is the terminology they came up with. And they're just trying to do, they're looking at things that mechanically are in 5e, but just people either don't use them, like backgrounds or things that just aren't very useful, and trying to come up with a better way to do it. They're making spell casting cooler. That's a more ice, ice spells, I suppose. The full text won't be ready until April of next year for their rules. So they're doing it a bit ahead. They're crowdfunding a bit ahead of time, but you're going to get, play testing and stuff. Right. You're going to be in on it, but already $500,000. So just they funded instantly, and already this project
I'm
is
not surprised.
Getting, yeah. So until June 23rd, you can back Tales of the Valiant if you like what Kobold Press does. And it's I think it's going to be aesthetic choices as well, like how they present their materials and stuff, the artisan things that they use. I think that flavors, that's a thing, people either love or hate, Paizo's kind of artistic aesthetic and the main artist that
kind
they
of
use.
Chunky, cartoony style, yeah.
Right. So that's going to push people different ways, too. So all of this stuff is going to, we're going to have this weird division. Everyone's going to be kind of playing the same game, but they're using different words and still rolling D20s, various amounts of D20s. So, 300 page. The player's handbook is going to be 300 pages.
I don't know, 270 pages too long?
Right. So, yeah, most of that is spells, probably. But, So, and this is under the Orc license, of course. We know, this is the thing that Paizo initiated. So, yeah, so we'll see if there's going to be a series of these, of kind of successful, like, iterations on 5e. But is that going to take away? I mean, if Wizards executes well on their whole digital plan, people are not going to probably make very big inroads, right. Especially if they're, if you're going to be having to pay like $100 to get there, to buy in to anybody else's version of the game, and then talk all your players into it and everything. So we'll see. But there's money out there, and Knave. So another an indie second edition of Knave, funded over $500,000, and that's a single. I mean, I'm sure he's got a company, and there's a team working on it, but that's a single designer. So there is some hunger out there for backing, for crowdfunding.
I think I'd have to go look at Knave, because I definitely have Knave 1e, but I didn't read it like super duper closely. But I think that's the success there is like word of mouth and like putting out a product, right? And being like, okay.
Yeah. He's got a big social media a presence. Yeah. And in the designer. Yeah. Community. So we'll see. And it's going to be, people are right now, everyone's going to be cashing in kind of on their reputation as a third party developer for 5e. You played our stuff, right? Well, here's our thing, and support us.
You know what I would and it's not going to happen, but you know what I would like to see? One of those third party companies going, you liked our third party D&D stuff, right? You know we can write good stuff. You're a valuable loyal customer. Well, here's our new game. Right? Doesn't use a fucking 5e. Here's a completely brand new game.
Yes.
And it's not going to happen. We trust that you trust us enough based on past material to check our game out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfortunately not going to happen,
right?
Because what is painfully evident is that there's people who are just not going to drop D&D, regardless of what WotC does. There's people who will drop D&D, but not really.
Yeah.
As long as the WotC or Hasbro isn't on it, they'll play it. Right? Which is what a lot of, I can't blame them, what a lot of third-party publishers are going to capitalize on, right? Great, you love D&D, but you don't want to support WotC. Well, here's our 5e not D&D, right?
Right. So, I'm not playing D&D.
Yep. No,
it's mechanically exactly the same, but I'm not playing D&D. Yep. So do you think that this ridiculous OGL they tried to force down people's throats and failed to do, do you think this is a second best option, having the SRD in Creative Commons and then having people go, oh, okay, well, we're going to keep supporting this because now we have access to these mechanics? And so this was like it's not as good as an OGL, but it still is keeping the system.
Well, someone who doesn't think an OGL is actually necessary.
Right.
And as someone who whose ultimate goal is to see the 1,000-pound gorilla just topple off their perch. It's the same, right?
No, but I think that they're still going to benefit. Yeah, they're benefiting from
still
this. People are looking at, oh, we won. We got.
That's it. Okay, I've prolonged this discussion, but like it's been a while. But like whenever I tweeted about the OGL, like the number of, it felt like there were a large percent of people who go, well, WotC backed down. WotC did what we wanted. So, okay, we're going back. And I'm just like, okay, fuck, dude. Right. Like, there's a large percentage of people who made a big stink and said, yeah, we won. Right. And then are going back to D&D like nothing fucking happened. Right. And a couple of people have said, like, okay, let's think this through. Like the company that tried to fuck you over before. Gee, they're not going to do it again, right?
There wasn't a mass firing at the executive level. Those people are still in place that had that stupid idea.
Yeah, they're just like, let's be a bit sneakier about it next time.
Why were we so obvious? Come on, guys. Put that business school teaching to work for you. All right, so let's move over to the dark side of board games.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so Quackalope, a YouTube channel that reviews board games, allegedly blackmailed a developer. So this is kind of a weird story. And the article, I think this is from Polygon, maybe. So they're going through the whole case of kind of covering this and presenting. So I'll link to this article so that you can actually read the the posts and everything. So what really got things started was a Kickstarter post. Mm-hmm. But initially, a YouTube board game channel was already in the process of being very perplexed by a game and trying to make content for it, and had a review kind of in the can ready to go that was going to be titled The Horrible Truth of Aeon Trespass Odyssey. Okay. The worst game they've ever played is what they called it. Mm-hmm. And so they, but they contacted Into the Unknown, the company that makes the game, and asked them if they would like to pay for some videos, if they would like to sponsor some videos. So, you know, that's a thing that does go on is people a new game coming on. Well, we'll pay you to review it. And, you know, hopefully you won't hate it because we're paying you.
Right. I'm sure in those cases, like, we'll pay you to review.
Yeah, right. Just talk nice about it. Yeah. And so for their promotional services, they initially offered them 5 videos for $7,500, which is a big discount from their usual $2,500 per video. And so they corresponded back and forth. It kind of slowly went on, and Into the Unknown said that price is not great. And they said, well, you know, we can, why don't you send somebody, you know, to our studios and we'll collaborate. We'll do, you know, we'll introduce your game, have someone. And they're like, we're not in a position to fly somebody to where you are to do YouTube videos. So they're kind of going back and forth. And then it basically came down to, okay, well, we already reviewed your game. We've got a video ready to go. If you're not going to pay us to do something, we're releasing the one that trashes your game. So what's it going to be? So they kind of use this as saying, as pressure. You know, we'll, if you pay us, we'll take a look at your game. If you don't pay us, we're putting out the bad review.
Not the way the blackmail I expected to go.
But And so people were calling them fraudsters, fake reviewers, and this was like a mafia type deal. And it came from So they offered, you know, collaborations of this. Like, we just can't do these sorts of things. So they would be willing to change their content if they were sponsored. But it turns out that
you know what I'm picking up here?
What?
We should adopt this tactic.
Oh yeah, exactly. So
if you, hey Watsy, you listening to this, Watsy? Right? Yes. I will retract every negative statement I have ever said about D&D. Maybe for some lucrative kind of deal.
That's exactly right.
And this is not me breaking character. I've like episodes ago I said we will gladly shill for them. Right. Anyway, like the difference is I'll be honest about it.
Yeah, we'll be open shills. Yes. Yeah. We'll be open. Yes. So it's this is really, really nonsense. But the weird thing that came up is then the guy that's running the Quackalope channel gave these said, okay, well, this correspondence is out there and it does make us look bad, but I was sick and I was getting married and there's all this stuff. And so there's all these excuses. So as soon as you start pulling out this like personal problems, personal schedule stuff, it's like, you know, you're covering something up.
Yep.
So on June 12th, they are going to be doing a live stream and explain everything. So they're just going to try to, you know, say it's just a sponsorship gone bad. And but the fact that they would, you know, would kind of dangle, we have this bad review. You know, we can delete this for a price.
I've only been exposed to the details of this from what you just said.
Yes.
But that with kind of like my joke before about like being an honest shill, like, I don't know, that is... If that's what happened, then the personal problems route, even if it's true, is they're shit excuses.
Right.
Like at that, I think at that point, like, okay, not a lot changes in Japanese business except like whoever is responsible does that giant bow, steps down, gets a golden fucking parachute, and it's the optics of change, right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, at least like come out and say, you know what? Sorry, right? Like, we wanted money, right? Who doesn't want money? Like, at least be honest about your excuse. And I'm not saying those getting sick, getting married, I'm not saying those personal problems did or did not happen. I'm just saying if that's like kind of like your sole excuse, it's kind of not great.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll take a look at this live stream in June.
Oh, will we?
And see what they say. Yeah, so not naming any names except for the companies. I won't drag anybody else that's involved in this. But yeah, but if you're interested in this, I'll post the article that has the links to all the actual correspondence and the comments and people's reactions. So it didn't really get started until the comment on the Kickstarter about this weird situation. And the game itself has already received a 9.3 rating on BoardGameGeek. So it's not a bad game. Like, many people have reviewed it positively. You know, some of them may have been paid, but many people have been reviewed positively. So it's not an overwhelmingly bad game. So to put out, or to threaten to put out something like that, that's, you know.
Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's going to bring down.
Like, here's a super popular game, and like, we'll get, I don't know. It kind of seems like he had like a vendetta against them, or just like, or he just wanted money, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was odd. Yeah, and saying, yeah, and they're saying they spent a lot of time, like 50 hours or something, with the game and couldn't figure out the rules very well and stuff. And yeah,
okay, so, you know what? Like, I think if that's what happened,
mm-hmm.
then I would say by all means put out a video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, here's this very seemingly well acclaimed game, right? And mm-hmm. like, be the counter voice, right? Like that would get you views, that would get you attention.
Oh,
be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, like we honestly tried this.
Yeah,
game,
right. In our experience,
50 hours as long as we couldn't figure it out, right? If that's the case, and I'm not saying
right,
it
right,
isn't,
right.
but it's like, here's why we didn't like this game that everyone seemed to fucking love, right?
Right.
Yeah, no idea where true. The blackmail came into that. But.
Yeah. Oh, so not illness. So there was no claim of illness.
Okay,
there was
okay.
claim of iPad. So
iPad?
I only had an iPad to correspond with, and I was getting married, and I'm, you know, traveling wherever you are. So, okay.
That's even worse.
Whatever.
That's even worse.
Yeah,
at least you could have written off at a, like, cold medicine high or something, right?
No. It was just an iPad. I was typing on a damn iPad.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah. So that's not good. And you know there's a lot of that stuff going on. And I suspect the Games Workshop has got something to do.
You're
with...
blowing our sponsorship.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I would prefer a sponsorship from Warlord, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
But anyhow, mm-hmm. Speaking of Games Workshop and their sad attempt to revive something that they shouldn't have killed in the first place, we have some.
Tell us how you really feel.
We have some details about Warhammer the Old World.
Mm-hmm.
So they're limiting things to their core classic factions.
Okay.
But basically, yeah, we'll see why, though.
Yep.
So the armies that they announced that are going to be supported, get new miniatures, mm-hmm. and have full rules and lore.
New miniatures, okay.
Yeah, and new lore. Yeah, they released for their big event, they released two miniatures, like a single Bretonnian and a single Tomb Kings miniature. It's like, okay, so wait, what? What's going on here? So Empire of Men.
Mm-hmm.
Dwarf and Mountain Holds, Kingdom of Bretonnia, Wood Elf Realms, High Elf Realms, Orc and Goblin Tribes, Warriors of Chaos, Beastmen, Bray Herds, and the Tomb Kings of Camry. Yes, Camry.
Nine. Okay. Yeah.
So nine factions. So, and the rest that aren't going to be supported, they're going to do that thing where they just like puke out some stat lines and throw you a free PDF and say, your army's still valid, enjoy, you know, which is bullshit. They've done that every time they make a rule change. They do that to appease people where they destroy their
and
armies.
And then by the time they get to the end of the list, it's like, well, we're on two editions past whatever the most.
Right, right. So they're not including in this narrative and in this like first version of this, Dark Elves.
Automatically uninterested. I don't care.
Yes,
where am I repeating crossbows?
Right. Yes, exactly. Skaven, Chaos Dwarves, Vampire Counts, Chaos Demons, Lizard Men and Ogre Kingdoms.
Again, no Lizard Kingdoms. Don't care.
Yeah, no, yeah. So, but the thing that makes that pretty obvious from that list is they just don't want you using Age of Sigmar models in in the Old World.
I saw something along those basic lines, or it was either like, we don't want you using those models in this game, or we don't want to put out a miniatures line for these armies to bite into sales from like the newly released, like, what the fuck are they? Like Seraphodons or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Like, anyway, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, they did do like a new kind of a refresh of that range. And yeah, they don't want you using them. So, and it's strange too, because the first thing they teased when they said we're bringing back Old World is they teased Kislev and Grand Cathay, and those, they're nowhere to be found. Maybe they're going to be in the Empires of Man, but nothing so far. So it's very strange. And they just said, well, it's not in the story. We chose to put at least the narrative here. They're just not active yet. They're doing their own things. But if Skaven aren't in the Old World, then it's not quite the Old World.
They're just real deep underground. No one
just not.
Oh, right?
I'm sorry. There is no such thing as rat shaped men. There is no such thing. But if there were,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not Games Workshop, right? If I was Games Workshop, I'd probably blow a bunch of my stuff. But like, that conspiracy or that thought process kind of supports the idea that Games Workshop is very much a miniatures company that is, the rules are secondary.
Right.
Like, and I'm sure that's where they make their money, right? It's got to be. I mean, despite the price of the books, right? Like, you buy one book and then you can kind of play. It's kind of the same thing as like TTRPGs. But I really have to wonder if this is a good move, right? Like, wouldn't allowing people to use Age of Sigmar models to play Old World. I mean, the aesthetics, I have to imagine, are kind of different, right? Because in Age of Sigmar, you're on round bases, and in Warhammer Fantasy, you're going to be on the square bases to, like, flank stuff up or rank stuff up. But, like, why? Right? Like, wouldn't... If I was doing this, I'd be like, cool, play Old World with your Age of Sigmar models.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that would, like, encourage people to go, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know what? I'll buy some more and put them on square bases to properly play this game. Or, you know what? I enjoyed playing this game. What other factions you got for it? I'll start doing that, too. I don't know. It just seems real in character, but, real hard-ass to say, no, we're not doing this because we don't want you to mix these models or do stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and their talk about, you know, when they killed the Old World, their early talk about, well, we had the Lord of the Rings rights and we had Old World Fantasy, and they're very similar, and they're hurting each other, and so we refreshed and got rid of...
I kind of wonder how much overlap there was there.
Yeah, I don't... probably not a lot, and now they're going to have three. Now they're going to have three fantasy lines, you know, three different games, fantasy lines, and then now they have Plastic Horse Heresy, so they've got something competing with 40K, now they've got something competing with Age of Sigmar, and they're trying to keep them separate. Like, they're trying to say, you're this player, or you're this player, so I don't know.
Like, does it?
And if they do the thing that they're starting to ruin their games by doing this weird thing with the rules where they're doing seasons, and that it's like, so in this season here's the narrative, and you follow it up to here and buy the, because there's rules in here, so you got to buy this, and so they're gonna like crank out these books that you have to buy to, you know, be up on the latest, you know, stat lines and everything, and or even how to run the game. So if they do that, then it's gonna be completely useless.
Okay, I haven't looked into what seasons entail. I heard a little bit of this, but like, okay, if done not correctly, if done differently, I tend to think seasons would be a good way to balance and fine tune competitive play.
To regularly tune. Yeah, because they're doing that for Necromunda now. They're making it very like, okay, they're playing up to this point, and now here's the new narrative. We're unlocking new factions, and
Well, it's kind of like banned and restricted list when it was like Netrunner, right? Because that's the last competitive game I kind of played. But it's like, okay, we're playing tournaments. We're this army is dominating. This thing's kind of, you know, overpowered, whatever. Next season, we've updated it a bit, right? To try and, if the goal of seasons is to continually balance things, then as long as, it's Games Workshop, right? So I was going to say, as long as people don't open up the new season book and go, cool, my army is fucking gone.
Right.
Which always happens. As long as this unit, there's less models in it, or this thing has a slightly different, it was that minor stuff that didn't completely invalidate an army, I tend to think seasons would be a good way to maintain the health of competitive play,
I think they don't handle it well, and you can't like clearly play, okay, so we're not gonna, let's back up a little bit and let's just play in last year's version of this, and no, you gotta play with the latest rules.
Yeah, I mean, again, but getting way back at the beginning of the episode to like, gamers like to collect stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And
like,
true. Yeah, yeah.
Even though we weren't actually playing in any kind of official tournament, like here, a little Netrunner meta was like, always say, let's always try keep and play up, yeah, with, yeah, keep right. up with the latest banned and restricted list. So, like, if you're playing at home, use whatever you want, or use the seasons, right? And I know Games Workshop is releasing seasons as a way to push the latest models.
Yeah, definitely. And just being able to keep putting new stuff on the table. Like, you have to have this now because there's cool rules for this.
Yeah, or you have to have this because the thing that it replaced is unworkable,
right? But we can completely ignore this release with no Skaven, no Lizardmen. I could care less. We have Argatoria. So Spellcrow has hooked us up. So we're going to be playing 10mm vicious fantasy battles.
Yes.
And so enjoying a system from a company that is completely removed from that, but still has that same, the fun spirit of kind of the original, you know, craziness of Old World Fantasy, but more savage.
The website I looked at, and I think I even sent the Limus to you, I'm like, it looks like a 90s era White Dwarf.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you can tell that's where their hearts are, and that's what they're trying to create. And so, I think they're doing fun. And we received free models. We received
free models,
and we're going to be freely playing and enjoying. So, we'll have
that doesn't mean I'm not going to be honest, though.
Right. No, definitely. And that's the thing that I really want to kind of rely, because we've been doing so many you know, ranked war games now. Yeah, yeah. So we will have a good perspective because we did Warmaster, now Oathmark, and now this.
I got feelings on Warmaster, especially playing Undead.
Yeah, right. And this will be a nice contrast to this, and we'll see like the things that they chose to do, like how their multiple activations work and things. We'll see how that, you know, what that does to make it, to kind of change the feel of the game. So yeah, I can't wait to.
Once the rules for Hobgoblin come out, we'll have that too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, jeez, that's right.
Yep, it's a lot. It's a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, I'm much more. Bye bye, ambulance. I'm much more not lenient, but not open is the wrong word as well. If I had lost that second game of Oathmark, if I had lost, like, no life, if I had gotten massacred as bad as I did, right, in that first game, yeah. I'd have been like, all right, let's play something else.
Yeah, well, Osprey contacted me, and they said, come on, you got to give Chris some breathing room here.
One model. I left the game, that first game with one fucking model. And right, included how many casualties? Like two, right?
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, still very much learning how to use elves.
Right. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I think the way we're approaching that is really fun, though, too, because kind of gradually getting into it. Like, if we would have jumped, I think it would have been a really rough game if we both jumped into, like, a 2,000 1,000 or 2,000 points of Oathmark. Just like, okay, well.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, the rules are straightforward, but we're playing 1,000 points next. Mm-hmm. And it's like that narrative kind of. Not helps, but you're just like, okay, the Escalation League helps. Mm-hmm. And I think we got to do the aftermath of the...
Oh, yeah.
That last game.
Yeah.
I think I get to expel you from a territory now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Either add something to...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you add something to your fifth.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. You get a new territory in that blank space. Yeah, so coming soon. Yes,
yeah.
So look for that. And more... so I'm going to do like a cleaning and prepping video for the resin models.
Oh, because of resin.
Yeah,
for Agratoria.
Yeah, yeah. So you get to see that. I mean, there's a ton of stuff out there about resin, but it's good. Resin and 10 millimeter, I think, is a little bit different from what a lot of people are used to dealing with.
Right.
All right. And one last thing I'd like to mention. So Pathfinder is going digital. So we mentioned that this was going to be happening, and it's finally in open beta. So the Pathfinder Nexus, which is the kind of digital platform that's going to be similar. It's not as feature rich and kind of usable as the D&D Beyond, the D&D platform is using that they purchased outright, that Hasbro purchased.
Oh, it's D&D Beyond. Then.
Yeah, Beyond. Yeah, it's not quite there yet. This Pathfinder Nexus will be. We'll be close, yeah. And it's Demiplane is the company that's doing it. They already do these digital platform kind of tool sets for Vampire the Masquerade, the Avatar Legends game, Alien RPG, and the upcoming Marvel Multiverse RPG.
Okay.
So it's a pretty slick-looking presentation. It looks like they're going to do good stuff, and they're trying hard because the difficulty with these platforms is, okay, I already have the book. I got to buy the book again.
Right.
So they're offering some different ways around that. A free account will give you 7 discrete characters. And if you purchase the book from Paizo, you'll get a discount for purchasing the book in the platform.
Okay.
And if you've purchased it anywhere else, there'll be some ways to discount what's going on. And then there is also going to be, so all books purchased on their website will be awarded so if you purchase from Demiplane, it's not locked into, in the Pathfinder, it's not locked into only on Demiplane. They're going to give you a coupon or a code for the PDF from Paizo.
Okay. Okay.
So instead of it just being like, you know, like
only
with Roll 20,
like
kind of Roll 20 stuff, let's say you're only using this in here. It doesn't come out. It doesn't do anything else. They're going to give you both a digital PDF, you know, a PDF you can do whatever you want with, and also the rules within the game.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So we will hope that this helps, you know, Paizo stay connected and stay competitive. You know, Pathfinder stays competitive with whatever they're going to end up doing at that platform at Wizards. But open beta is available, so you can go ahead and sign up and see what it looks like. And it's just, I think it comes down to taste and functionality too.
Yep.
So people have different aesthetics. So full release will be eventual, but not, this is still open beta. It was closed beta, previous. All right. So, there's also a Starfinder. So a Humble Bundle for Starfinder has a really great of all their latest adventure paths, plus 2 physical, the starter box, which I think is right here. The physical starter box and I think their Alien Archive number 2 physical books involved in this bundle. So it's like $30 for a couple of physical things and then a huge selection of the all the Starfinder books and adventure paths. So I'll put a link to that as well. So Starfinder is another thing. I'm sure that's going to show up on with Demiplane on the Nexus as well. All right, that'll do it for this week.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
On Twitter, where I'm ranting about stuff, and Instagram as well, where I'm posting more photos of miniatures, and latest was the 10 Oathmark Elf Rangers I put together last night. Cool. So that's Hivemind, Hyvemynd on both social medias. Until Elon starts implanting chips in people's brain and everything. And then I'm just out, right? Done. Right.
Anyway. Nice. How about you? So I'm doing my single panel gag cartoon, which didn't happen this week. So I apologize. My schedule, it was, by the time I got home to be able to stream, it was so late. I'm like, no, nobody's awake. I'm going to be talking exclusively to Australia. So I'm going to do it. So I'm going to switch over to Tuesday. So it's going to be Monday nights, North American time from now on, just so there's no overlap with scheduling. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch, Abuse Cartoons on social media. And if you want to read the cartoon, gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you like what we're doing here with the weekly, please visit upturntable.com, where you can see all of the episodes and everything else that we're doing. The channel on YouTube and Twitch is UpturnTable. And if you'd like to tell us what to do next and give us some inputs, consider becoming a weakling.
Yay. That's UpturnTable, where you can become the strongest of all supporters.
Yes, yeah. At patreon.com/upturntable. And then give us some feedback and let us know what you'd like to see. We've already got patrons on there like Matt that you just drop us little links and things and say, take a look at this. Can you believe what's going on with these guys? And that's been a really fun way to keep the show very active and kind of participating with the patrons. So consider that. And otherwise, we'll be back again next week.
Yep. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.